Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Outdoor Evolution Podcast. All right, so if you are an aspiring outdoor filmmaker, a photographer, a writer, maybe a podcaster, then this episode is definitely for you. If you're not a person that is currently aspiring to be some sort of an outdoor media creator, maybe you'll learn a little something about my personal journey and my lovely co-host's journey and come away a little inspired. So speaking of co-host, on today's episode, we have the OG back.
Thanks, man.
Mr. Emery, how's it going, buddy?
Good, dude.
You haven't, I've missed you on like the last handful of episodes that we haven't had you, but we talk about you on the other episodes.
I love it, dude. I appreciate that my name gets mentioned.
Yeah, man, you're always there. You're there in spirit, if anything.
I love it.
So folks, what we're going to be talking about on today's episode is media creation. You know, for years, I feel like in my like media journey or what people know me for in media are things like my YouTube channel and my gear videos and my thru hiking videos and all of that. But you'll notice that a lot of times you'll probably hear me on this podcast or see me in things like I can't stand the term like YouTuber, and I can't stand this term Instagrammer. I consider myself an overall creator. Like I always call myself a creator. And, you know, in today's episode, I really want to talk about what that means and kind of my personal journey of becoming a creative person that now has, you know, this YouTube channel, has done documentary films, that owns a media production company, that has a podcast, that just kind of all that encompasses creating. And maybe you're somebody that is looking to get inspired or maybe you want to get into photography. Maybe you want to make a YouTube channel, but you kind of don't know where to start. You don't know if anybody's going to care or if you're going to be successful at it or what have you. So hopefully today's episode will inspire you and kind of show you really what it takes to, I guess, be a creative, especially in the outdoor realm and in the outdoor industry. And Emery actually, you know, he's perfect for this episode to be the co-host because, like me, he is a multi-creator, right? Mm. Like, you have, what all do you have now? You have the...
I got the podcast, you know, a very, what do they call it? It's a very young YouTube channel. But it started out with a website and just writing. So, I mean, and then I was always interested in photography.
Yeah.
But it's funny how things just kind of, they kind of compound, or like you just find yourself going in new directions. And besides photography, man, like, I didn't know what the heck I was doing with video or a podcast.
I still don't know what I'm doing with photography.
What the heck? Like, none of that stuff was in my wheelhouse of familiarity at all. So
yeah, it's kind of wild. I think that like once you get kind of inspired creatively, you just kind of like start spider webbing into these other things. At least everyone that I know that's like a quote unquote true creator, everyone that considers themselves a creative, doesn't ever stick with one thing. Like they just kind of want to create multi little ventures and, you know, go into this realm, go into that realm and just be creative. But real quick, before we jump into the topic of creating and all that encompasses it, like we've mentioned in a few of the other episodes in this season, we wanted to start highlighting certain companies that have been part of our hashtag give a shit campaign that we launched back in 2020, where we basically asked companies in the outdoor industry to give back to public lands. So in this episode, the company that we want to highlight is Appalachian Gear Company. Now, we've talked about Appalachian Gear Company before, but back in 2019, before we even launched hashtag give a shit, we collaborated with them on an all alpaca beanie that had the little Outdoor Evolution logo on there. And we were able to donate a majority of the profits to the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. And this year, we're actually going to be doing the exact same thing. So I know Emery's been looking forward to getting a sweet alpaca beanie.
Wearing the hair?
Yeah, man. Wearing the hair. That's perfect. I'm pretty sure like we could sell that to them. But we're going to be doing another alpaca beanie. And if you aren't following us over on our website, you haven't signed up for our newsletter, definitely check that out because we'll be releasing some information on that limited edition Outdoor Evolution beanie. But aside from doing a collaboration with us, App Gear Co. actually sponsors AT Ridge Runners every year as part of their commitment to giving back to public lands. And aside from being a company that gives back, they obviously make some really awesome 100% alpaca garments, like basically what I am completely donned in today. If you could see me, I'm wearing my App Gear hair hoodie and my beanie, not the OE beanie, but a beanie. Nonetheless, it's cold, folks.
It's all charcoal.
Yeah, yeah. You got to match, man. You got like, you know, they make tons of cool different colors and stuff. So my beanie and my hoodie is definitely matching. But
what's your favorite App Gear Co. color?
My favorite App Gear Co. color. I mean, probably the charcoal or the olive. Like I have this really cool, olive hoodie that I got about a year ago. I bought it about a year ago, and that's the one that I was using out on the CDT this year. So I kind of go back and forth. The olive one is more of my adventuring hoodie, the one that I'm going to, you know, backpack in, that I ride my bike in. And this one's, this one's a little more of like my fancy on the town hoodie. So
it just doesn't show up in pictures that well.
Yeah.
You don't pop.
No, I don't pop. I need the olive one for that. So we are super proud to have App Gear as part of hashtag give a shit. You know, they're a company that really cares about giving back, being a part of the community, and making super sustainable, all-natural gear. So make sure to go check them out if you haven't already at AppalachianGearCompany.com. And as always, we thank them so much for being a part of hashtag give a shit. All right. So, creating, man.
Yeah, man.
Creating. What are your thoughts? Do you call yourself a podcaster? Do you call yourself a YouTuber? Or do you kind of put all that under one label?
I would say that I feel like when you crest over 100 episodes on a podcast, you're a podcaster.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not
I feel
a podcaster
like
yet.
Well, I mean, you decide.
You hear
like,
that?
I
He's
have
flexing
a hard time.
On me, guys.
I have a hard time with accepting labels that I respect, like photographer. I have a hard time, but my neighbor, he's a photographer, been one for a long time. And because no one pays me as a photographer, I have a hard time saying that I'm a photographer, but I've enjoyed photography my entire life. I absolutely love it. I always come back to it as like the medium that like gets me fired up the most.
I think you're a photographer. I think you're a great photographer.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, way better photographer than I am. Like, I will 100% like call out anybody that's like, you're a good photographer. I'm like, don't ever call me a photographer. Number one, I'm really not good at it. Like, I'm good with moving pictures, but not good with still photos.
It's funny how that medium, like, and you'd think those two things are the same because you're looking through the lens of a camera. But if anyone out there has ever tried to do both photography and video, like flip back and forth between the two. Well, yeah, they're different.
from my experience, every photographer that I know can easily transition into video, and they're really good at video, but it kind of doesn't work the other way around. From every like videographer that I know, I think it's because photographers really understand light and like, you know, proper exposure and stuff. And like, you really got to know those things right when you're getting started off to like get a good photo. Where video, like most people getting into video can like pick up a camera, hit record, and just kind of figure it out as they go. But like you really have to understand, you know, composition.
I was going to say,
good lighting, exposure, all of that whenever you're shooting photos. So as soon as you like hit the record button to start shooting video, you know, I think all of that's being applied where most people that are into video that I know, like just kind of, I mean, you know, to be 100% honest, I mean, that's how I got into it. Like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, like shooting video at all. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll buy a GoPro. I can hit the record button and the GoPro will do the work, right? But then, like, when I graduated to, like, a legit camera to start filming with, I had no clue what the hell I was doing. I didn't understand exposure. I didn't understand composition. That was just learning it. But, I don't know. Maybe that's why. I mean, maybe not, though. Maybe there's people out there that just straight get into it and right off the bat learn good lighting, good composition. But I mean, most people that I know just just kind of grab the camera, hit record, and hope for the best results.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, I mean, there's more than one way to go about it, right?
Skin a cat? Oh.
Yeah. I've been using that phrase way too much lately. I love
that term. It reminds me of Jerry Seinfeld, like some stand-up where he's like, who the hell skins cats? Like, when did that term ever come into existence?
And then to find out there's multiple ways, but we don't need to get into that. Yeah, man. Like I would, it's so funny that you mentioned like, hey, do you consider yourself a podcaster? What do you consider yourself? I don't know that I consider myself a YouTuber, though I do make YouTube videos or videos for YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I consider myself a podcaster more than anything, just because I feel like I really own that more so.
Yeah.
But I would really like to, I don't know. I'd love, if I could do one thing for the rest, if I had to choose one, it'd probably be photography and filmmaking, like filmmaking, right.
It's quality. It's funny. Films. There's a lot of people. So, you know, for the record, I'm sure most people listen to this podcast know this by now. If they're, you know, if they're really listening because like they just legit like me talking, most people that kind of enjoy my media just want to hear me talk about backpacks and shoes. But, you know, if you've been following the podcast, odds are that you just kind of like me rambling about anything. But if you listen to it, you've probably heard me say, I can't stand the term YouTuber.
Yeah.
At least for myself. Like, because in my mind, I know what a YouTuber is. And that's never really been my goal. But then for a long time, I had a hard time with the term filmmaker as well. Because there's a lot of people. Because there's a lot of people on YouTube that are YouTubers that will title themselves as a filmmaker. And this, like, there's a big kind of discussion and argument, like, what it means to be a quote-unquote filmmaker. Like if you put together a 4-minute film of your hike on trail or a 4-minute video of your hike, like that is a film. I've always thought like, well, when I think of like a filmmaker, I think of something that is a little more longer format, something that has, I don't know. Honestly,
is film for you kind of like this? There's a lot more layers to it. Like there's more, it's maybe not cinematic, but it's more intentional about stuff. Like you're going out and doing a thing. Like it has more elements to it. Whereas like a video of me running around a mountain or running on a trail or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's is a video.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that there's some people that make films of like if we take YouTube videos, for instance, and we're talking about trail videos, so hiking videos, right? There's some people that I would consider them films of their hike because they're trying to tell a broad story with it. And I think that that's whenever filmmaking comes in, like when you're really trying to tell a story, whether it's documentary work, whether it's, like there are actors in there, or even like yourself, like you can tell a story of yourself doing a thing, but then there's also like vlogging, right? Like where it's just someone talking to a camera about their day and what they're doing. And it's not really so much a film as it is, it's almost like a journal, almost like a blog or a quote unquote vlog.
Right.
So I've always had a hard time with that term because I don't consider, even though I have done those types of videos, I don't consider myself a YouTuber. Just because when I think YouTuber, I think of like this certain person, how they talk, how they present themselves. Now, I've gotten wrapped up in that and almost became a YouTuber. But I took a step back from it because it's not really what I wanted to do. I don't know, man. Then I just really had a hard time with the term filmmaker. And then just recently, not recently, like people have been saying it for the last year, somebody said like, well, why don't you like the term filmmaker? And I'm like, I don't know, because I just don't consider myself that. I consider myself a creator.
Is it the same thing for me? Like you hold it in high regard?
Yeah.
And you're like to own that label. You're like, oh man, that seems heavy.
Yeah. But maybe the other reason I don't like that is like the reason I don't like a lot of terms is because then that puts you like in a box. Of, like, oh, okay. Right. So that's what I don't like about the YouTuber thing.
Welcome to the mind of a creator, everybody.
It's really complicated and terrifying.
Well, dude, where did it all start for you? Like when, okay. You've been a creator. You've been a creator of various media.
What I was going to say, real quick, just to finish my sentence, is, you know, I said like, well, I'm not a filmmaker, and they pointed out, they're like, no, you have made a legit film, like you made a documentary film about something that wasn't on YouTube, that didn't like exist in that realm, therefore you are a filmmaker. And I was like,
yeah, but if you build a house, does that make you a house builder?
Maybe.
It makes you a builder of a house, but I don't know if it makes you like a home builder.
So are, by that standard, are you saying like you need to do multiple? Like if
I don't know.
If I want to be considered a filmmaker, do I need to make multiple films as one? Like,
I mean, we could start splitting hairs about what a thru-hiker is and what a thru-hiker isn't.
Oh no, shit! Let's not do that. That's a terrible discussion. And you know, who cares? But yeah, I don't know. So go ahead. Sorry, okay. I didn't want to cut you off.
So your creative journey.
Yeah.
Back in the day, where did your creative journey start? Because I think what's really cool for a lot of people is to, okay, for all of those inspired. Let me just frame this one a little bit.
Yeah.
And so everyone knows where I'm going with it, because I think that a lot of creatives can get like locked up in their heads. There's some creatives that have no cares in the world and they're just create because that's what they're built to do. But then there's like the some creatives like me where they have both parts of themselves where they're like hesitant because they overthink it, but they have this creative thing that they want to get out of themselves, and they're not sure if they start, where it goes, and how it all pans out. So for you, I think if we looked at your journey,
I was going to say nobody will get this, but I was going to say like I don't know anybody that's like overthinks creating stuff and is really anal about it.
Right,
that one's just for you, buddy.
Your journey,
yeah.
From what I know, you're a musician.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that I have always been. My wife and I were having a conversation about this recently because, or even like Einstein and I think have had this conversation here in the office, and you know, there's definitely two, you know, they say that there's kind of like two sides of the brain, right? And like one side of the brain is very like really analytical and like really, you know, you analyze everything and everything is very perfected, and you know, that's where like you're doing your math at, that's where like science is coming from, stuff like that. And then the other side of the brain is like all creative. And some people use one side of their brain more than they do others. Mm-hmm. So you have people that are, you know, you could try to explain to them a million times how to like compose a shot, like composition, right? And they just, their brain doesn't see it.
Yeah.
You're like, no, but the mountain should be on this side and the tree should be on this side and the person should be like in the lower thirds. And then, you know, me and my wife, for a long time, she kind of wanted to get into photography a little bit. So I was like, cool. And I kind of showed her how to use a camera. And like, I mean, I tried for so long and it just never stuck. She's like, why can't I just kind of hold it and just hit the button and it
makes a photo.
I'm like, well, you can, but like, if you want to like composition, and she just, it never registers for her.
Right.
So she just doesn't use that side of her brain. So for me, you know, from day one, I've kind of always been more of a creative. Back when I was a kid, I drew a lot and I painted a lot. I thought I was going to be an architect for a long time. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an architect. And then got to high school, started playing in a band, you know, doing things that you do whenever you're in bands.
You just gave me a really weird look. Doing things that you do in bands. I don't know, man.
You know, those things. When you're young and dumb and you play music and you're a punk rock kid, you do other stupid things that go along with that. Anyways, without incriminating myself too much, then I started really getting into music. I'd always kind of been into music and I'd played guitar from an early age. But when I started playing in a band and like getting creative with other people, that's whenever like my, you know, that co-creative side of my brain really blossomed. And then I went from playing music to wanting to produce and record music, because I've always loved the production side of it. So then I had a recording studio, where I produced and recorded music for other people. Did that for about 2 years. But the whole, like what I do now, which is kind of funny, because like,
it's kind of a similar track that you've gone down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to say, it's kind of come full circle, because now here we are doing a podcast and I'm talking into a mic and like fixing audio levels and stuff.
Right.
And I never thought I'd touch that side of, you know, my creative path again. But really, the whole video thing, I've always been a big fan of film. I've always, a friend of mine from back home named Kevin was an independent filmmaker. And like whenever we were just getting out of high school and stuff, he was like renting a camera and like we'd go off and like make little short films and stuff. And now he's made a bunch of films and he's won awards and stuff. Like that's what he ended up doing. But back then, like I would be the guy who like held the boom mic, right? Like to, yes. And had the audio recorder. So maybe that's kind of why I started getting more into audio. Mm-hmm. But like shooting video using a camera was never a thought of mine, never something I wanted to do. And then going out to do the AT in 2015, I had this crappy little camera that we took and I got rid of it like maybe a month into the hike. Mm-hmm. It's like Fuji XP. It was like this rugged camera. You mm-hmm. could like get wet and stuff. I can't remember the stupid model of it. But I shot a couple photos on that, but really still didn't think about it. And it wasn't until I got off of the AT that I was kind of inspired by, you know, seeing, watching YouTube videos and stuff, watching other people's hikes before I went out there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, I can do that. So then I like picked up a little GoPro and kind of like what I said earlier, it was just kind of hit the record button, see what happens mm-hmm. and just go with it. And then I think over time, like I started figuring out that like creatively that brought me the most joy. And then like figuring out cameras and then figuring out composition and figuring out lighting.
So you were never like a camera nerd before this?
No, not at all.
Because I was gonna say the things that you can, I would say if you can nerd out on two things, it'd be like bikes and cameras.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
now, like
yeah. If, oh yeah, those are my like, two main.
I know that a lot of people things. Think you can nerd out on backpacking, and I'm sure you can just because you know it really.
But
well.
Not so but, much. Like not and as like much. Anybody that really knows me knows that like
Darwin gets diary of the mouth when it comes to cameras and bike packing.
Yeah, we had a whole like conversation this morning over text about bikes, and yeah. you're probably like, "Shut the hell up! I don't. I just wanted to know. I wanted to know That's what kind of bike I should get." Yeah, it's funny. Most people know me for the whole backpacking thing and gear thing, but like really, like that's not my interest at all. It never has really been. I mean, I've always been music, bikes and cameras. Well, not always, mainly music and bikes, but now cameras, right? Like that's my main interest. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's just I'm also the kind of person that will like anything that is interesting to me, as soon as I get hooked, like I'm 100% in it. And with cameras, like and filming, I think it just kind of came from like, oh, I made a goofy YouTube video where it was me talking about my backpack. And then the next thing I did was like, oh, I took that camera and I went and filmed my hike. And I put it together and I put it to some music. And I'm like, ooh, like I can put moving pictures to music. And then it kind of just developed from there. And I got more interested in cameras, more, you know, trying to get the best shot that I could get, trying to tell the best story that I could tell. And, you know, going from there to then doing all these videos, then becoming known for that. And then going out and like doing something like shooting a film in 2019. I had no clue what the hell I was doing going out to shoot a film at all. But, you know, just going to do that. And then that slowly just kind of building and developing into things. That's kind of always been my kind of my way of doing things. It's like I have no clue what I'm doing. It's just like I'm going to completely throw myself into it, make a bunch of mistakes and kind of learn as I go. And then now that's come to me owning a damn video production company, like sitting in the office right now of the company that I own, where we're doing video production work for other companies. Like people are legit hiring my company to make videos for them. So yeah, where I never in a million years would I've ever thought that that was any of that was going to happen. So
when I know that you get this question a lot, but maybe not this question, but what, when you get asked questions about creating content by people, just because of the YouTube following and stuff and the name you've made for yourself, are there common questions that come up that you can think of?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that, number one, I guess like the first thing is just getting into it, right? Like I know a lot of people.
How do you get into it type of stuff?
Yeah. Because I know a lot of people out there that, you know, that kind of like how we started this off, like talking to aspiring filmmakers and photographers and writers and podcasters that just kind of don't know how to get into it. Because I get tons of questions like, well, I'm about to go do this thing and, you know, blank thing. Like, I'm going to go bike pack across South America, or I'm going to go through hike the AT, or I'm going to go live out of my van for 6 months, mm-hmm. whatever you want to fill the blank in of this outdoor adventure. And I really want to start a YouTube channel, or mm-hmm. I really want to start a blog or something like that. And they mm-hmm. just like, you know, where's the best place to start? Like, how do I start a YouTube channel? How do I go about, you know, a lot of it comes down to gear. Like, what's the best camera to get? Like, you know, what editing software do you suggest? Like, how do you store your media? How do you, you know, whatever it is, like, people seem to be very interested in it. And to be fair, over like the last handful of years, I watched the whole YouTube genre of like outdoor media creation, especially like for through hiking, mm-hmm. go from like
bananas.
Me and like five other people to now like 100 or 200 people.
Every person's going to film their PCT.
Every single person that goes out there is like starting a YouTube channel or starting an Instagram account or a blog or a podcast mm-hmm. or something and creating with it. So I think that a lot of people just kind of want to know, you know, I'm not sure if I can do that. I'm not sure if I can film all my stuff and put it together and make a YouTube video.
What are your initial thoughts as an answer to that?
Well, the same thing I've kind of told anybody, because, you know, the other thing that people always want to know is like, well, how do I get good at this? And I always tell people like, oh, I'm not good at
time.
It. Yeah.
How much do you care?
Yeah. Screw up a bunch. Like, for me, and kind of one of the best pieces, I can't remember where I heard it, but it was somebody that said, where did I hear that? I'm trying to think of, because I want to quote the person that said it, but I can't think of where I originally heard it. But somebody said that, you know, just make things. Just make things, put them up there, get feedback.
Yep.
And like, you know, if you make a video and the audio is terrible, put it up there.
Yeah.
If you make a video and it's too shaky or it's too short or you think it's stupid or anything, mm-hmm. put it up there and just like
receive feedback
and learn as you go, right? Yep. Like figure it out as you go, because nobody is just like instantly gets into something and just knows everything. I mean, still, man, like we're a video production company. Like over the past 2 weeks, I've been super busy here. We've been doing this big shoot for a company. It's been almost 2 weeks that we've been working on it. So mm-hmm. a good solid 10 days. I mean, even stuff in our shoot that we've been doing over these past 2 weeks, I mean, there's still stuff that we're learning. Like, oh crap, how can we achieve that shot? Or how should we use this lens?
That's the creative process.
Yeah.
Like if you... And let's use like, that as an example, because I think when people get confused, sorry to like jump in here, but kind of light bulb goes off on stuff like this.
I saw it. I saw the light bulb go off.
You just said you're a creative and you just said that like you're doing a job that you've never done before and you're trying to figure out how to do this thing. No one's there to tell you. No. You don't have the answer. Now, going forward, the next time you do this, maybe you'll have a better answer, but this is the creative process, figuring out like, okay, I know that I want to get this kind of result, but how do I get there? Maybe that's like making a phone call to someone else. Maybe that's doing some research, or maybe that's just like figuring it out on your own to try and see like knowing the settings of a camera or the medium that you're using in order to turn the result. Like you look at painters, there are so many different types of paints out there and like canvases and then results. Everyone's trying to get to a different place and they're just trying to figure it out. And that I think is like, it's the creative side of, that's what creation is.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one there to tell you what to do.
It also comes from like, you know, go onto Instagram, like find some really good photographer that you think that their stuff is really good.
Yeah.
And then unless they're just like, you know, deleting it, like go back on their grid and like go see what they were shooting 2 years ago and then go see what they were shooting 3 years ago. And then like you can progressively see them mm-hmm. getting better. And it's not just because they got better. It's because they were consistently learning and like developing their skill, right?
Yeah, just so, repetitions.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like there's a lot of times like where I'll spend an entire day just like getting the exact same shot. Like I sent you a picture of that really cool lens that we recently got mm-hmm. that we're doing some very specific macro type shooting with it. So we needed this certain lens. We got it. And like literally we spent almost a day and a half just screwing around with it and mm-hmm. like getting as many wrong shots as we could possibly get, using all different types of fabrics and subjects and bugs and anything that we could shoot with it, and like basically wasted an entire day and a half. But it's not really a waste because like now we know exactly what we're doing with it. And then like as we use it more, we'll just get better with it and get better results. So I think, yeah, the whole creative process really comes down to, you know, just kind of throwing yourself into it and just doing it. You know, the best way to learn how to use a camera is just to use the damn camera. Like, put the camera in your hand, go out and like shoot as much as you can.
Yep.
And learn, like, you shot a picture, picture came out. Well, what's wrong with the picture? This is wrong with the picture. All right, try to shoot another picture and try to improve on that. What's wrong with that picture?
I think where a lot of people have that initial jump in is so awkward. It can be awkward depending on where you're at on the scale of like, look, man, creatives are sensitive. You can't, if you create a thing and someone shits all over it, like that hurts, man. Like
it does. And like to point out something funny, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, I've talked about stuff on this podcast and we've gotten funny like feedback and comments and stuff. People like, oh, just get over it. Stop taking it so personal. And it's funny when people say stuff like that, because it's like, I don't think you understand, like whenever you do create something, whether it's a YouTube video where you're just talking about a pair of shoes, whether it's, you know, you're putting a photo up somewhere, whether it's a podcast episode, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you are a true creative person, you're putting your heart and your soul into it. Yep. Even if it's just something as goofy as a gear review on YouTube.
Yep.
If you're truly a creative person, you've put a part of yourself into that.
Yep.
So then when somebody like shits on it, or talks crap about it, or talks crap about you, you do take it personal. You can't not take that personal. Because it's impossible.
It's your creation.
Yeah, right? It's something that you, it's like if, you know, for all you parents out there, it's like you have a kid, and then like you're out somewhere at dinner, and you know, I don't know, you do like the thing that parents do all the time. Like, oh, you want to see my kids? And like you pull out your wallet, you show like somebody a picture of your kid, and they just look at the picture, and they're like, damn, he's ugly.
Yeah.
Like, And then you know, you get upset and they're like, don't take it so personal.
Yeah.
It's not you that I'm talking about. It's the kid that I'm talking about. It's the same thing. It's like, if you put a part of yourself into something, you create something, like you're going to take it personal. If you don't, I mean, I'm sorry, you have no soul.
Going back to that question of how you get into things, I feel like that's such a hard, it's such a hard question to answer, but also it's really easy. And I think the easy way to answer that is, at some point you just have to do it. Like if you want to learn to play, if you want to be a rock star, you got to start playing the guitar or learn the drums or something. Like, and it's amazing to me anytime that I've ever been hesitant to do something. And then I remember I got back from the PCT and I want to start the podcast, but the other thing was, and I did, but I would say the thing that I wanted to do the most was, I wanted to start filming my hikes. And I actually went full, like all into it and got like an ND filter, like variable ND. And I was like full manual mode, like not just with my iPhone hiking down the trail. Right. I like spent the time setting up the shots. And by no means are those videos, I did that for a short period of time. And by no means are those videos, you know, epic by any means. But if I go back and look at those early videos, I was like, wow, like I did it. Like I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But these shots look intentional. They look pretty, prettier than what you could get out of just a cell phone or some, you know, just hiking down the trail. Like the little videos I made for my wife when I was on the PCT. They're more intentional. And I was like, dude, this is really, really fun. It's but the thing that I stopped doing was that takes a lot of effort, man. Like it takes a lot of effort to set up these shots. And then
I'm telling you.
At one point, you know, when I started having kids and like my time in the outdoors just changed, I'm like, do I want to be on this trail filming myself or do I want to be on this trail hiking?
Mm.
And so for me, it kind of switched. Like, I wanted to be more immersive in the moment. And I know it's kind of off track, but the creative process changed for me. Like, okay, I'm not so much worried about that content. I'm worried about myself, but I still want to capture it. So I've kind of gone in reverse a little bit. Like I've stopped caring so much about the depth of field. Like, I no longer bring an ND filter,
right?
Because I'm also trying to do a couple things at the same time. Like, I'd like to get photos, and sometimes an ND filter on the end of your lens, it just doesn't help.
Like, no, not with photo.
It's not good for photos.
Like, so I'm always like, okay, with video, never with photo.
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm doing just video, then great. But if I want to capture video and photography, like, I've noticed anytime I try to do that, it's one or the other, and I'm missing out on both. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll just take a step back in these little things, the creative, like, you know, cake pieces or layers.
Well, I think to your point, like, the creative process always changes. I mean, there's tons of people on YouTube right now and tons of people that follow me and that are probably listening to this podcast that are still like, where are your CDT videos? I want to see your CDT videos, right?
God, I love that.
So I'm talking to all of you. I don't want to make them right now. Like, I keep trying to get into them.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think what people don't understand is that because I am a creative person, because I consider myself a creator, like, I have created trail YouTube videos for 6 years,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I've done it so many times. So it doesn't excite me as much to do it because I've done it so much mm-hmm. that, like, right now, you know, I'm working on this film project called Public, this 8-episode series that we hope to launch on Outdoor Evolution sometime at the beginning of the year. We're doing these short films for these other companies. Like, that stuff is new and fresh and something that I haven't done for 6 years. So, like, that is really, like, creatively, that's really what's driving me. So it's not that, like, you know, I'm withholding them from people. It's not that I'm, you know, that I don't want to do them. It's just, like, it doesn't creatively drive me right now because that creative process is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And I just don't get what I got at one time from editing trail videos, yeah. right? And I mean, the other thing, you know, is I spent 4 months out there. And, like, for anybody that's listening, you know, I've touched on it and kind of, like, made jokes about, like, oh, I didn't like the CDT. Mm-hmm. I don't think what a lot of people understand is I had a very rough time on the CDT.
Just need some space.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, like, without getting too much into it, and I'm actually being pretty serious. I went through some really hard mental stuff that is mm-hmm. like, it has nothing to do with the hike. It has not, it's all personal stuff.
Yeah.
But I went through some really tough mental stuff out on the trail, and I'm still kind of, like, a little bit, like, you know, have, like, PTSD from it. Like, where, like, the last thing I want to do is look at footage from the hike that I'm trying to not forget about, but, like, trying to move on from, like,
all right,
these other things that I'm doing. And it's weird, man. Like, you know, talking about that creative process, 6 years of thru hiking, 6 years of being out there, you know, 5 of those years having a camera and shooting a video and telling a story. Like, I couldn't wait to come home and edit that stuff and put it up there mm-hmm. for people to enjoy. But now it's like, it's just, I don't know, because that creative process has changed. Now that's mm-hmm. like absolutely the last thing that I want to do. Now it's more like, oh, well, I did that thing. And now I have all these other creative things that I want to do, like this podcast, like this film series, like the website that we do.
Right.
That, like, you know, I spent 4 months creating. Now I haven't edited it, but I took those shots. I set the camera up. I talked to the camera. I got interviews. I did audio. I did all of that. So I created one particular project for 4 months. And, like, now it's like, all right, well, I did that for 4 months. Now it's time to create something new and move on.
Come back to it.
Yeah. So, you know, just to touch on that, like, because I'm sure there's tons of people that are just like, yeah, all this is great, but where the hell are the damn CDT videos? Like, you know, maybe eventually one day.
I mean, the whole thing changes, right? Like, if you've been doing something, the same thing for so long, it's like playing the same song over and over again. You want to play something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine. You can come back to it and it'll feel good when you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that kind of, like, that kind of is to the point that we're trying to make in this podcast is, like, if you are an aspiring creator, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what you're trying to get into, odds are that you'll get into the thing, you'll really love it, you'll give all, like, everything to it, and then at some point you kind of get a little bored of it and you're like, all right, well, now I kind of want to do something different. Mm-hmm. And then being able to branch out to those new things, like, Maybe it's starting to write a blog. Maybe it's having a podcast. Maybe it's doing all these things that, you know, both Emery and I have kind of branched out. We started with this one thing, got everything that we needed to get out of it. And then it's like, all right, well, now I'm going to try this. And now I'm going to try this. And I think that once you start kind of that creative process, it's really easy. It's not easy, but it's like, you know that you can just jump into something, figure it out, learn as you go. And it's not as, I guess, intimidating, right? Yep. Like, you know, talking about for whatever to that point, to 2019, like I shot YouTube videos. I shot trail videos.
Can I ask you about those early ones?
Yeah.
Like, were you shy about putting those out there? How did you feel about making those? Because I think it'd be interesting to talk about like the first time we put ourselves out to.
I mean, if you look at, you know, if you look at just presence on camera, you can see a massive difference. If you go watch some of my earlier videos, how I'm talking to the camera, like I'm very like shy and I'm very nervous, and I watch it and just cringe because it's awful.
Was it hard to put out?
No, no.
Were you nervous about it at all?
I don't know if I was really nervous about it. I mean, as a true creative person, I'm always nervous about putting something out, you know, like I'm always still today. Like if I post a photo on Instagram, like I will like check it 20 times before I post it. Cause I'm like, is it as good as it could be? Is it really what I want to deliver to people? Cause once I deliver it to people, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's the same process with YouTube videos. Now, like if I do a video, I'll spend a lot of time making sure the sound is exactly the way I want it to be, making sure the colors are the exact same way I want to be. Cause once it goes up, that's how it's received. So yeah, I think that there's still that nervous energy of creating something and then handing it off to the world and saying, here's the thing that I've made. Now, what do you think of it? Yeah. And yeah, it probably really hasn't changed for me from the first video to now. I think that that creative nervousness or that ooh, will people accept this? Will people like this thing? Will people listen to this thing? Will people watch this thing? You know, I think that there's always that. But to me, that's also kind of like the driving force a little bit. Like, I like that, right? Like, I like to, a lot of creators talk about imposter syndrome. Like, a lot of us have imposter syndrome. No matter what we do, no matter what we put out there, we're always like, it could be better. I could totally make something better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's healthy. Like, that's good because then you're consistently learning and improving your craft, right? Improving your creation, becoming a better photographer, becoming a better filmmaker, a better writer. So, yeah, I mean, I think I've been nervous from the get-go, but, you know, if you really watch my videos from the B-roll to the me talking to the music to the sound to the everything, you'll see it get better. And that's the creative process, right? Like, it's getting better as you go.
I find myself, when I started my YouTube channel, I didn't really know what, how do I say this? I felt like I had an idea of what I wanted to do, but that idea in my brain changes around so often, not so often, but it adapts. One, I didn't know how to make videos. So to your point earlier, I had to make videos and I had to get it out there.
Yeah.
But those weren't the videos that I wish people could see. Like I knew that I could do better and I wanted to do better, but how am I going to do better if I don't just do it and get it out there? So I kind of look at my, I'm going to take video journey. I look at my YouTube journey as like getting reps in, like practicing editing, practicing music, like trying new things. My YouTube journey is I'm so early on in this like YouTube creation or video creation. I don't know that necessarily like I want to be like, to your point, a YouTuber. I don't think that I'm doing it to be a YouTuber.
Right.
My mission is with my YouTube channel is education. Here's my thoughts on some stuff. Yeah. Take it if you want, but also it's me honing a craft. I look at every time I make a video as honing a craft because I want to be able to adapt that. Like
that's how you feel about it too.
If you ever hit me up and were like, hey, I need some help with video, I can then decide for myself, or like I could be like, I know some stuff. I think I'll be able to do that. Like, or an opportunity comes down the road where depending on what the project is, like, yeah, I could probably do that thing. Right. So to me, YouTube in that whole journey has been like me honing a craft and practicing. That's why everything kind of, I didn't start it as like a brand. I started it as me doing a thing.
Right.
And I think the intention is really weird. Like,
it's I feel the same way, man.
Jumping offline.
That's why I don't like the YouTuber thing, because always been like, I'm known for that, but like that wasn't my goal. And it's like, to my point, if anybody wants to argue that, it's why I have now taken this massive break for months putting out any type of content, because I'm not trying to be a famous guy on YouTube. I used that to hone a craft, to learn how to be a better storyteller, to have, you know, a better, I guess, presence, a public presence, to be able to talk to people, to hold a conversation. Now, yeah, that was with, you know, talking into a camera, but I was creating stuff and honing a craft of being a creator. And kind of putting myself out there. And it's why, like, you know, as soon as I started, I think last year or beginning of this year, I made some videos. I totally changed it. You know, for years, if anybody's watched my videos, it's typically me sitting down and it's like a bust shot of me talking to the camera, and then I cut to B-roll. And then like this last year, I shot a lot of those same type of videos, but I'm like walking up to the camera. I'm moving past the camera. I started doing it differently and taking different types of shots. And again, it wasn't because I was trying to get better at YouTube. It was because I was trying to hone a craft, because my main goal, in my creative process right now, I want to be a filmmaker. I want to make more documentary work. I want to tell more stories about other people and for other people. So I started using YouTube as like, oh, well, here's an idea that I have that I want to work on something for somebody else. I'll try it on YouTube first. I'll see if I can, you know, put it together on there.
Oh, it's a good format to, it's a good place to like see how it lands.
But it's funny, like I'll always get stuff from people.
Showing off or whatever.
Somebody left a comment once and they said, stop flexing your editing skills and just deliver the content. And it was just like, I thought it was so funny, because I was like, oh no, like I'm flexing my editing skills to me, not to you. Like I'm trying to learn, you know, as I'm going and get better at my craft. But again, I think that comes down to that argument of like, you know, a creator versus a YouTuber versus a, I don't know, man, it's complicated, because.
So I'm starting to think that maybe the next part of this is like, expectation, like it kind of starts looping into expectations. Like, what do you, when you start this thing, you go down the path of like starting to shoot photography or start a YouTube channel, what are you wanting? What are you expecting to get out of it? Because when I started my YouTube thing, I was like, I want to get better at video. I want to learn video. I had like a little vision board, and on it was a 3x5 card that was like, learn video. Learn video. And so I learned it. Like, that was the thing that I wanted to do that year, was learn how to do this stuff.
Yeah. Mine was more of an accident. Mine was like, I want to help people, inspire people. And then it was like, by doing that, I was learning video and then realized like, oh shit, this is what I really like to do. I like to create with a camera. And then
that's so funny. Cause my inspiring people started with writing. Like, that's why I started the website. I was like, I don't want to be an outdoor writer. I just want to share my experiences and inspire people.
Yeah.
And that was so nerve-wracking when I finally told my friends that I had a website. Bro, I was like, I shouldn't tell anyone about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt, I think, with the YouTube channel in the beginning too, is like, oh, well, I don't really want to tell anybody about it. But then I also, like, I'm a super competitive person. So for me, it was more like I saw other people doing it. You know, there wasn't a lot of people. But I was like, oh, well, shit, I could do that. Like, I could turn on a camera and sit in front of it and, like, wave my hands around and talk about shoes and backpacks. And I did. I think a lot of it comes down to intention, right? Like, I, you know, without calling out any names, and I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, I think it's like, it's good to bring up, and like, it's a point that I've tried to make for years, especially the last 2 years. Like, when I'm going to be creative in these other projects, like the podcast or something, somebody will say something like, you know, to a degree of like, oh no, just stick with what you know, just be a YouTuber. And it's like, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but I think that there's people that like make YouTube videos that are not really, they're not filmmakers, that are not video creators, that they're not in it for the videography of it. They're in it to be a YouTuber, to be a personality.
Like that's what they want to do.
Right. They want to be famous and they want to make money. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Mm-hmm. If that is your goal, then like,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with that. you know, but I think that it all comes down to intentions.
Like what you want out of it.
Yeah, like are you listening to this episode right now because you're like, "Oh, I'm going to start a YouTube channel and become famous and make a bunch of money." We're not really talking to you. Like it's more like is your goal to I want to create something because I want to put it out there to the world. And maybe inspire somebody else. Now, you know, if you get all the things that come along with it, like it eventually turning into owning a video production company, well, that's the bonus, right?
Yeah.
But I've said it a million times. Dude, if I didn't have that, I would still be doing it. I would still
have my
camera.
Can we talk about that? Because that's like a huge...
I said that for years on the channel, man. If everybody unsubscribed right now from the YouTube channel and like, you know, I couldn't run ads in my videos, I would still be doing it because it's what I enjoy doing. It's my hobby. It's my passion. It's what I love.
Yeah, dude. That is so... I feel like when you go down the YouTube rabbit hole of like, maybe like start a YouTube channel or what should I start? What should I go and do a thing on? Everyone that's been doing it for a long time will be like, do something that you're excited about.
Yeah.
Like, do a topic that you're excited about, whatever. And I think that's such great advice. And I know that sounds so stupid, but like, if you're not excited to pull up a camera and take a picture.
Totally.
And you're saying that you want to be a photographer. All right. Well, dude, photographers take pictures regardless of who's looking at them. And eventually they become well known or, I mean, I guess there's the few that make it through, I guess. But like if you have to,
it's a moonshot.
You have to be doing something. Like when I started the website, I was like, well, whether this, my whole expectation from the beginning was with Byland was like, if this doesn't go anywhere, it's me documenting my journey for my kids. And like, this is me, this is my creative outlet. Is everything Byland is a creative, it's my creation. And no one can take that away from me. And I feel good about that. And that was, that involved photography. And then it became a podcast and then video stuff, like multimedia stuff.
Yeah. And it's because you loved to do it, not because you were trying to like, break through or get famous or make
that doesn't
money
mean that I don't have hopes and dreams.
Sure.
Like,
everybody
of course
does.
I have a dream. I would
but I think
love...
what a lot of people have to realize is like becoming famous from something, especially like in a super saturated world, it's a moonshot. Like an absolute, like if your goal is like, I'm going to start a YouTube channel so I can become a famous YouTuber and make a bunch of money, like moonshot. Like there's so many people doing the exact same thing. And that person that's going to make it, that's going to do it is like, is standing out in some way that is different from everybody else, or they, like me, just got lucky. Right place, right time. You know, I happen to...
It takes a lot of dedication. I think
it does.
Like, at this point, it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of knowledge.
And to what you were saying, I think the other thing that can happen is something that I think happens to a lot of people, and you can get caught up in the whole algorithm part of it and the whole likes part of it, because you know, it is an endorphin, right? If you're a creative person and you create something, put it into the world and everyone's like, it's so great. Good
so
boy.
Amazing.
And they pat you on the head.
Like
your endorphins get rushed. Right. And then you want to do more and then you want to do more. Right. And then at some point you get stuck into this rut of doing it, not because it's what you want to do, not because it's what you love to do. It's because of what other people want, what other people expect, and what other people want you to do. And that was something that I got stuck in hardcore as a creative. Like, I started the YouTube channel and started making videos because it's what I wanted to do. I loved to do it. But then I got into a rhythm of like, oh, well, if I make my video this certain way and I talk about this certain thing and the thumbnail looks this certain way, I'll get those endorphins, right? People will be like, good job. And then I had to like basically break away from that at some point and be like, oh, well, wait, why did I start doing this in the first place?
Did you notice a hit to your creative? Like,
yes, it drained me. Yeah. It absolutely drained.
What am I talking about? Creative, like, juices?
Yeah.
Desire? Well, creative desire?
For
like, at this point, you're probably just doing, like, wash, rinse, repeat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was, you know, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Talking about, like, I've made YouTube videos about my through hikes for 6 years. Like, mm-hmm. it's wash, rinse, repeat. Like, I could pump out those CDT videos right now, and they would be just like the PCT videos and just like the AT videos, and it's just what they are, and people would love them. But that's not why I create things. I create things because it's something I need to get out of myself, something I need to get out there, like whether it's, you know, onto a podcast or it's onto a film or it's on paper or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's something I need to creatively get out of myself. Like, I need to get it out. So if I'm not doing that, like, what the hell is the point of it? Like, what's the point of creating? And it's funny that a lot of people just don't realize that. So I think that, it definitely comes down to intentions. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing it for? And then realizing that if you're truly a creative person, at some point, those intentions are going to change.
Yeah.
And everybody, no matter who they are, I don't care. I just, anybody that says that they've never burnt out, or won't burn out is absolutely lying to themselves. Like, it's just a part of the creative process. Yeah. Eventually, you do something long enough, you're not getting that same high off of it, of creating something. Like, it's just, you burn out from it. It's not as fun anymore. So then it's like, all right, well, time to change it up. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to do this. But yeah, man, I think it just comes down to just putting yourself out there and then doing it for the right reasons, creating because it's what you want to do. It's what your passion is.
I wonder if there's people, like you had said a second ago, like, you know, who this episode's for. And I wonder if there's people that don't have that creative bone in their body, but they want to create content to.
Yeah.
That's a hard spot to. I feel like that would be such a hard spot to be in.
Well, I've always had the argument that if you look at humans in general, we're all creative. Everybody's a creative. Everyone. Right. I mean, if you really stop and think about it, this is me getting like super deep and like cosmic, but I think about crap like this all the time.
Cosmo.
Yeah. If you really stop and think about it, everything around you right now was created by another human being.
Yep.
Everything. We are a creation from another human being, right? Like, like, life is created, right? Like, the table that my laptop's sitting on right now, somebody created this. This computer, somebody created it. This microphone, someone created it. This sweater, someone created it. We're all creative. We all have creative juices within us. Now, that might not mean that you're a filmmaker, that you're a photographer, but I think everyone has the desire to create something. Everyone. And it's really tapping into that and figuring out what that is, what that means to you, and what your creative release is. You know, some people, it's car people. Like, I've never been a car person, but like, some people are really big car people and they love rebuilding engines and creating a new engine and a new exhaust and you know, all of that. So I really think that everyone has that creative spark. And if you are an aspiring media creator, if you're somebody that's wanting to make outdoor media, I think that you do have it in you. It's just really like honing in on it, realizing that you're not just going to instantly know how the hell to do it. And just doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, getting inspired and really diving into it and being inspired by other people and creating with other people. And then eventually that part of you will just kind of come out. And it's, I mean, at least in my experience, like, that's been everything. Again, like, I had no clue how the hell to shoot video. None. Zero. I didn't go to school for it. I wasn't born with some talent of like learning how to use a camera. I was like, oh, that's a thing that I want to do and I'm going to figure it out. So I started watching videos about, you know, how to work a camera. I started watching videos on how to edit stuff. I started watching reading articles on how to tell a story and how to craft a video and how to do sound and all of that. And I just learned from other creatives, surrounded myself with that. And then eventually here we are. So
It's funny how they all feed back into themselves too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Like it all, somehow the juice gets like spread throughout, like back to like podcast, you know, creative juice and whatever it might be. And it's amazing how that whole system works.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's like therapy. Like creating is a very, because it's like when you're creating, it's like it's self-expression, right?
Right.
No matter what it is. Like if you're a songwriter, or if you're a painter, if you're an architect, it's self-expression. You're taking the ideas that are within you and like you're wanting to creatively put them out into the world so other people can see it and be like, oh, cool. No matter what that is. And sometimes like it's not even for other people to see it. It's just like you want to get it out there so you can see it. Yeah, man. That's yeah.
That's interesting, dude. Do you have any parting thoughts? Like,
I mean,
wrap up.
You know, the biggest advice. Yeah, I say it all the time, but the biggest piece of advice I could ever give anybody that's like going to go do their first thru hike or, you know, their first bikepacking trip or. Or, you know, move into a van and go see the country and live out of their van for 6 months and live in national parks and stuff is to figure out something to create, journal or start a podcast, you know, from the road, or pick up a camera and shoot some photo, use your cell phone and shoot, you know, photos on your cell phone, if not for yourself, like to eventually create something to put out into the world.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is I think that we've probably touched on this in the past. I don't know a lot of, like, if we use thru hikers, for example, I don't know a lot of thru hikers that I've met that haven't been inspired in some way to create something when they get off of the trail, when they get back from an adventure. Like, I can't think the last time that I met somebody that just went on a long distance hike, got off the trail, and they're like, well, I'll go get a 9-to-5 job now. Like, everyone I know has been inspired to do something, whether it's just shooting photos or it's writing or it's, I mean, I really like, I think about that all the time because I said something like that. I did this, was a keynote speaker at the Alda Gathering, in October out in Virginia. And I said that during my keynote speech. My keynote speak. And I said, you know, it's something that's amazing that happens when you kind of open your mind up and you get inspired. You instantly want to create something. You yourself want to put something into the world that can inspire something or inspire somebody. And a lot of that comes from, like, I think that we all have that creative juice. And if you really want to be an outdoor filmmaker, if you really want to be an outdoor photographer or a writer or a podcaster or a sculptor or a painter or whatever the hell it is, like, know that it's in you. And if you really, truly have a desire to get it out there and put it out there, just do it. Just go for it. Just kind of grab hold of something and learn it. Like, nobody, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to like our culture, right? Everybody wants to know how to do something right off the bat. Like, they want all the answers. They want to take the magic pill, right?
Right.
Like, everybody wants to lose weight, but nobody wants to put in all the hours at the gym and fix their diet. Everybody wants to have the lightest backpack, but not everybody wants to drop all the money to buy the lightest gear, right? You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's just kind of part of our culture. So if you want to be an outdoor photographer, pick up a damn camera, start shooting photos, and become an outdoor photographer.
Yeah.
And do it over and over and over and over and over again. Make mistakes. Screw up. Take terrible photos. Get people to judge them.
Yep.
and leave you feedback and then prove them wrong and get better and get better.
Not only that, but I'd even add, like, practice stuff that you don't need that's not even related.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, when my photography skills went through the roof when my first little girl was born and we were going to this big dog park along this river. It was like it's a gigantic dog park.
Yeah.
Hundreds of acres of woods and trails. Ooh. and like, it's super cool.
Sounds cool.
We'd spend 2 hours on a trail hiking through this place, and I would just take pictures of my dogs.
Yeah.
And that, like, 2 hours of like constant taking pictures of my dogs running around, dude, steroids on photography. I mean,
yeah, you learn amazing. A lot, right? Like, you learn a lot. Ton, yeah.
So working in mediums that aren't even, may not feel related.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. You're just like putting reps in.
Yeah. It's weird. I was thinking earlier, like when we kind of started this, the whole podcasting thing, like I'd been on a couple podcasts, but I'm like, I can't podcast. Like I can't mm-hmm. sit and just talk with a mic. And like, I've been training to be a podcaster for 6 years, yeah, talking in front of a camera, right? And bullshitting and having conversations.
Yeah.
And even like sitting around and having a beer with my friends and like, you know, having a couple beers in you and just start, you know, completely bullshitting about mm-hmm. random topics. Like I was training to be a podcaster those years. So that's all this is.
For real. Dude, I would be curious. I'd even put the question out to the audience, like if they want more. I know we've kind of done like a general, like let's dip our toes into the idea of content creation and like what it means to be a creator. And because it's kind of a weird thing to get into if you haven't done it.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see if people have questions, like specific questions. Like,
yeah, that's a great
idea. I would love
idea.
To do like a Q&A episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
you know,
let's just talk about the nitty gritty. You got an aperture?
Yeah. You know, when we started Outdoor Evolution, folks, like the whole point, like if you go and look at the website, is even like looking at the kind of our motto is create or explore, create, inspire. Like create is right there in the dead center. Mm-hmm. And it was all because like I wanted to kind of inspire other people to kind of do what I did. They go out and have this adventure, create something for it so you can inspire mm-hmm. other people. So, you know, to Emery's point, if you want to hear us talk more about maybe certain aspects of creating, if you want us to deep dive more into these nerdy conversations about editing or about, you know, learning how to use a camera, any of this stuff, because me and Emery, I'm sure, could talk days.
Dude, I could nerd out real easy.
You know, send us an email. I would say leave us a comment, but it's not a YouTube video. You can't leave a comment.
Isn't that unfortunate?
Yeah. Well,
it's unfortunate. I really think that like, did podcasting start with Apple? I think it did.
I think so. Yeah.
They really screwed up.
Yeah. iPod podcast. Right?
It could have been like, can you imagine if you could have had just comments? Leave a comment below.
That'd be
interact
insane.
On this episode. That'd be awesome.
But if you do want to interact on this episode, send us an email. Send us an email to theoutdoorevolution@gmail.com and let us know if you want to hear us talk about this more. You know, we've also really wanted to dive into more articles over on the website. We've done some media creation articles to kind of get the juices flowing and inspire people with, you know, some cameras and stuff that we would suggest using if you're going to get into photography or videography. And a few other creation tools over there, but it's something that we've really wanted to dive in more, do more articles on to maybe inspire more people to create so then they can, in return, inspire folks. So if you are an aspiring outdoor filmmaker, an aspiring photographer, a writer, a podcaster, whatever creation journey that you want to get into, hopefully this episode will inspire you a little bit and you can walk away with maybe you know, understanding that none of us really know what the hell that we're doing. All of us just really want to get ourselves out there and create something to inspire other people. And hopefully you will do the same. A huge thanks to Emery for joining me yet again as co-host on this episode. If you haven't yet, make sure to go check out all of the things that he's been creating over on Byland.co, or go check out his podcast, the Byland Podcast. If you want to help support this podcast and get bonus content like early access to episodes, hours of exclusive videos, and even a weekly bonus podcast with yours truly, you can become a member of our Patreon community, and we'll leave a link down in the show notes. If you've been enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and give it a rating and or a review wherever you're currently listening. Make sure to check out theoutdoorevolution.com to keep up to date with all of our new articles, courses, products, and more. You can follow us over on Instagram at The Outdoor Evolution. And folks, that's going to wrap up another episode. Thanks so much for tuning in.